Well, it sure is good to see you here today in the Lord's house, and I see some visitors with us this morning, and we certainly want you to feel welcome, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. And we notice that there are some that aren't here among us, and we want to pray for some of our brothers and sisters that are not well today, but they're not terribly ill, but they would ask us to pray that God would give them a quick recovery. And one thing I do want to encourage us about is just be very careful, be very vigilant that you take care of yourself. If you need to wear a mask, you feel like you need to wear a mask, we encourage that. And please use the hand sanitizer that's close by. Wash your hands, and it is hard for Baptist folk to refrain from eating together, isn't it? But we were not wanting to cancel tonight because we were going to have such a good time fellowshipping and eating together and playing together, but we feel like it is in our best interest not to be Baptist tonight and eat together and fellowship together, but the time will come when we can get back to doing that real soon, we trust. Also, try to refrain from hugging and kissing on each other. Now, I have to be careful that I don't shake too many people's hands because I love to stick my hand out and show the right hand of fellowship with folks. But we need to be very careful. This is a very contagious disease. But I want to remind you, as your pastor, I'm committed to staying with it, not canceling our worship time together, in particular on Sunday morning, because this is so very important. We need to be together. We need to proclaim the name of Jesus. We need to lift high our Heavenly Father and worship, and people need to hear the gospel. And so we're going to be very careful to continue this in light of all these things. I want to turn your attention this morning to a very familiar passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read to you a passage that the Apostle Paul wrote as he was encouraging and challenging the church at Corinth to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, remember His offering, His sacrifice that He gave of Himself, to be mindful of it, and to do it as often as the church would like to. He doesn't put any particular schedule on when to do it. He just says, as often as you do it, remember the Lord Jesus. Don't forget the tremendous price that He paid. And He gave us the example, as Christ gave us the example, to take the bread and to take the cup and to be reminded of how great a cost our sin was paid and how great the cost it was for us to be redeemed and to have a new life with Christ Jesus in heaven someday with Him. And so I want to read these very familiar words, but I want to read these very weighty words, these very important words that were penned by the Apostle Paul in about 65 AD. He says, "For I have received of the Lord," I'm in verse 23, chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread." Now, this is not a new doctrine for this church. Corinth was founded by the Apostle Paul, started by the Apostle Paul. He was the church planter in Corinth. One of the very first things that the Apostle Paul taught them to do was to break bread and to take the cup and to remember what Jesus had done for them. He's just reminding them, this is what I told you and I taught you to do. Don't neglect it. Don't negate it. He said, as I further read, and when he had given thanks, Jesus broke the bread and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me." For as all, and he says, in the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you may come not, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." So the Apostle Paul is reminding them of the significance and the importance of the Lord's table, of the Lord's Supper we call communion. Today we have already witnessed the first ordinance of the church, baptism. The Bible said that as you're going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them also all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Jesus has given us these ordinances. We've read this one, and I have quoted the first one. We participated in that one. We are participating in another. I want to say just a few things about this command that the Lord has given to us, His church. He says, and the Apostle Paul reminds us, that with reverence we should look up when we receive the bread and the wine or the grape juice. We look up. We thank God for what Jesus Christ has done for us. We remember what God the Father did. He bankrupted heaven by sending His only begotten Son down to earth to pay the highest price so that we might have forgiveness of our sins and a hope for eternal life with Him in heaven. That's what God did for us. And we need to look up and thank God the Father for all that He's done for us. See, He did this to show His great love for us. God demonstrated. He put on display how great a love that He had for us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The ungodly. The godly dying for the sinner. So that we could have the forgiveness that God required. The perfection that God demanded could only come through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. We missed the mark. We fell short of the glory of God. Everyone is a sinner, falling short of the glory of God. But God commended His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we look up and thank God the Father. But He also said we need to look back to the cross, and we need to thank God the Son. We need to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what He's done for us. I'm reminded of John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, because of what God the Son did for us on the cross, we are not separated from God anymore. We are not going to be eternally damned in hell anymore because of what God the Son did for us. I want you to think about this. He took the thorns on His brow. I mean, they took that crown of thorns that they had woven together and they thrust it on His brow, into His scalp. They reached and pulled out His beard. They took a cat of nine tails and they whipped His back 39 times with that. I want to remind you, that had bone and that had iron and that had glass embedded into those leather straps. And they ground His body with that 39 times. And they would slap Him on the face and say, "Now prophesy and tell us who's hit you." They took a reed, not a little old hickory switch, so that would have hurt, but they took a piece of river cane and they beat Him with that. On the back, on the head, and they bruised His body. And they weren't done yet. They took Him up to Golgotha. He carried His cross part of the way. And after Simon of Cyrene carried it the rest of the way, they laid it down on top of that hill and they spread Jesus' arms out and His legs out and they wrenched His body and drove spikes in His hands and His feet. And then they lifted Him up on that hill, on that cross, and they let the cross slide down into that hole as it jarred His body. He hung there and He bled there. I want to tell you something. Most men that went through what Jesus went through going to the cross died before they ever made it to the cross. They didn't make it to the cross if they already had gone through so much punishment. But Jesus left glory to come down, to walk among humanity and live a perfect life, in order that He might be the perfect sacrifice on the cross for our sins. He bled. He let His body be broken for us. We remember, as we look back to the Son of God, what He did for us. In a moment, we're going to take this juice and this bread, and we're going to literally put these pieces, these different elements into our mouth and swallow them down as we think about what Jesus did for us. But you know, the beauty of it is it didn't end there. They took His body down after it had died, after He gave up the ghost. He took it down and placed it into a tomb, and the Romans sealed it with a stone. And they said, "We've taken care of that matter." But oh, weren't they in for a big surprise? On Easter Sunday morning, resurrection morning, Jesus got up before the sun rose. And He raised from the dead. He is alive. And then He sent angels back to do a very small job to roll the stone back. He could have just spoken that, but He had the angels come and do that and set upon the stone. Wasn't that a sight? They were waiting on His disciples to come so they could say, "Look. Take a look. He is alive. He is not here. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He arose just as He said." You know, the cross and the resurrection always go together. The cross paid the penalty. The resurrection showed the power of God to save us from our sins completely. We look up. We look to Jesus. But he also said we need to look within. When we take this in just a moment, it will do us good to look within and say, Lord, if there's anything that prevents me or should not permit me to do this in the right attitude, with the right heart, with the right understanding, Lord, would you purge me from that? Would you cleanse me from that? Would you, Lord, prepare me to do this in the right way? We look within. It behooves us to look within. If we take this lightly, we will not be blessed. Then the Apostle Paul said, you need to look around while you're doing this and remember those fellow saints, your brothers and sisters in Christ. As a matter of fact, the language that the Apostle Paul uses here is, we need to put them above ourselves. We put you above me. And you put me above you. We rank under. As he so often would say, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Think about each other as you do this. They were not thinking about one another as they did this, and this was a corrective letter. He said, you guys get it right. Think about one another as you do this. Love one another. Forgive one another. Live for one another. As you submit yourselves to each other and to God. This is a powerful text because of what it reminds us of, but it's a powerful text because of who we know is coming back for us. He said, you're doing this until I come. He says, look to the future, dear beloved. Look to the time that Jesus is coming back. As we're doing all this looking around and looking up, he said, look forward. Jesus is coming again. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting excited because I see the signs of the time lining up more than they ever have before. Jesus is coming again. Folks, it could happen while we're here. It could be today. The Father could tell the Son, Son, go get my children. And he could send the angel out with the trumpet of God and sound that thing, and with a great shout of God, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so will we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Folks, get your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. All the things that we see going on around us are going to keep going on until Jesus comes back. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be darkness. There's going to be evil, headiness, high-mindedness. There's going to be people lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. They're going to be disobedient, rebellious. They're going to be traitors. They're going to be all this evil. The Lord told us that was going to happen. Get your eyes fixed on Him, the author and finisher of your faith, because He is coming back. And if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Him today. You need to come to Him today and be saved before it's too late. Now, I just want to take just a moment. Here's what I want to do. I want you to just bow your head where you are. If you are a Christian, you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to just reflect upon what is going on in your own heart, what's going on in your own life, and if there's something that would not permit you to do this correctly, would you ask God to purge your heart from that? Would you ask God to forgive you, make you a clean vessel, a worthy vessel because of what He does. And if you're a lost soul here today, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here's what I want you to do. Right now, I just want you, as our heads are bowed and our eyes closed, I just want you to slip your hand up, put it right back down, and say, Brother Joe, I need to be saved. Just slip your hand up and put it right back down, up in the balcony down here on the floor. Anybody, I'm looking around, say, Brother Joe, I need Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. I'm not saved. Is there somebody here like that today? Anybody? I want to help you to be saved. The Lord's speaking to you about that. I want you to be saved today. The Lord wants you to be saved today. Is there anybody like that? All right. Well, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to ask the deacons to slip up here when they're ready and they've finished their prayer time with the Lord, and then we're going to pass these elements out and we're going to receive the Lord's Supper together. Father, thank you for this precious time. Thank you for this special day, Lord. It's been such a privilege to be here this morning. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I'm unworthy to even be called a child of God. Lord, I'm not worthy to be in your family, to have the hope of glory, to have my sins forgiven. But God, you who are rich in mercy, with your great love wherewith you loved us, you came and you bought us back off the slave block of sin and out of the grip of the devil. Lord, you bought us back and you have redeemed us by your own blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now clean us up and make us a fillable and usable vessel for your work. Lord, we consecrate ourselves unto you. And we look to the day that Jesus comes back again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, deacons, if you'll come, we're going to pass this out. So men, will you come and pass this out? And then when we have all the cups together, we'll take this, we'll peel that first layer off, and we'll take the bread together and thank God for it, and then we'll take the juice. So gentlemen, please take care of that for us. All right. Now that we all have these, if you haven't already, just try to peel that first layer and get to that wafer. All right. The Lord says to remember His broken body. And how important it is for us to remember what Christ has done. And so as we take this wafer and eat it in just a second here, let's remember what the work that Jesus did for us on the cross. And I'm going to ask Brother Steve Solon just to pray a word of thanksgiving over this. And then it says that Jesus took the cup and after he had supped, he passed it around to the disciples, and he said, "This is my blood. It's a new covenant. It's a new testament." You know, with every testament, there had to be a testator, someone who died. And so Jesus shed his blood, every bit of it, for the remission of our sins. And so we want to thank him as we receive this together. And Brother Ray, would you just thank the Lord for his blood shed? Amen. He said, as often as you do that, do it in remembrance of me. And thank God he is coming again. Until he comes again, we're going to keep doing this. Amen. And remember what he's done for us. Thank you, gentlemen, for serving the elements to us. In a moment, when we dismiss, they'll have some sacks or some things to put these in to dispose of them. So, please help us to take care of that in just a few moments. I'm gonna ask our deacons will dismiss down back to their seats, and I would like to have a word of prayer with you again. And we have on the bulletin that there is an invitation, and so what I want to do right now is I just want to ask if Emily will just slip back to the piano, there will be no singing. I'm just going to ask you one more time, if you need to do something, that you'll take this precious time to do it, okay? That you won't delay. Maybe you need to join this church and you say, this is something that God is burdening our hearts about. We want to be a part of this fellowship. Then you come and we receive you. You say, Brother Joe, I need to get saved and I need Jesus to live and inside of me and forgive me and come to be my Lord and Savior. We can do that today. You can trust Christ right here today. Or you want to, maybe there's a call to special ministry. We don't want to overlook any of those things. If God is doing something in your heart, please move today, all right? Sit there prayerfully as Emily plays, and I'm going to stand down here to receive anybody that might come.